Hey everyone, this is your host Jim of the Bible Study Podcast. Wanted to jump on for a few short minutes to be able to share a recent testimony of mine and to hopefully encourage all of you out there. Just a precursor here, this episode will not be an hour or 2 hours long. At best, it'll be 15 to 30 minutes long. I'm just going to give a little testimony of a recent retreat that I went on. And hoping that it encourages you. So, this will be episode 47, maybe I'll get a creative title for it after I've posted it. But it touches on many different things. So, at my church, what we do is we try to twice a year. Obviously, COVID's kind of messed that up the last couple years, but we were able to do our first one. Just this past weekend, but we try twice a year to do a silent encounter retreat is how we term it. And essentially, people will sign up for a retreat, an encounter retreat. They go out to encounter the Lord, have a meeting with God, and then what we will do as a church leadership is we will try to do everything we can to facilitate that with targeted teachings, lots of prayer and worship time, lots of alone time, and so when we do this, it's a really great opportunity. Like I said, if somebody just needs a touch from the Lord, they're seeking God for an answer for something, or if they're looking to go deeper in their relationship with Christ, this type of encounter retreat is really a really cool way to facilitate that. Like I said, and so I signed up. I went this past weekend. I actually had posted the last episode on historical evidence for Christ just a couple hours before I went out for that retreat. And I wanted to share some of the takeaways that I got from that retreat. And the first morning, it's like a day and a half retreat. We had a service, sort of, small little service for those of us who went. Which there was about 30 of us. There was a little service at our church Friday evening. And then Saturday morning at 8 a.m., we meet up at our church and we take a bus ride out to this place called Beulah Beach. And it's a place here in Vermilion, Ohio, that is it's a very nice place. It's right on the lake. It's a Christian center. And so they open their doors for lots of churches to come in and do all sorts of type of activities. And it's a favorite location for us to go as a church to be able to host these retreats. And the first day, they do a lot of really facilitating the Lord to speak to you by, bringing up all the tough topics, all the tough things that you need to hear about, and make sure that you're really getting some truth from the Lord on, right? And one of the things that the Lord has been really trying to get me to work on, and my wife as well, and other people that I know, but specifically my wife and the Lord, is getting in better health. When I got married, so I'm not a very big person. I'm all of 5'6", and when I got married, or I should say, let's rewind a little bit before when I met my wife, when I first met her, before we got married, I weighed about 150, 155 pounds. So I was in good shape for my size. I have a background of weightlifting, so I hadn't weightlifted for a while up until that point, but I still had that foundation. So I was in pretty decent shape. Nothing impressive, but still good. And when I got married to my wife, I put out about 10 pounds. I was in like mid 160s, something like that. And between then and today, I have gained several more pounds, and I've gotten up to around 190. So I'm getting kind of round, getting out of shape. I've been trying to diet and exercise here intermittently with varied success, and usually it's because of my commitment. And that morning, that Saturday morning, first day away from family on the retreat. Because we don't take our cell phones. It's an opportunity to just completely disconnect from everything that we normally are associated with, so that way we can focus on the Lord, right? It's a really great thing. But one of the first things that morning, the Lord just really convicted me about my health. And you know, just to say as a word of encouragement to everybody, if you're overweight, lose weight, do whatever you can, and treat it as a priority. You live longer when you're skinny. If you're overweight, you have medical complications as well as direct complications with being just overweight and all the stuff that comes with that. But you're more likely to live a shorter life if you're overweight. And if you're anything like me, where I want to live as long as I can, and give as much time to my family as possible, my friends and family, and just enjoy life as much as I can, then you owe it to yourself and those around you that you love and care about to lose some weight. There's scripture that reinforces that too. I'm sure we've all heard it if you've been a Christian for any amount of time. You know, there's scripture that talks about, you know, making sure that you take care of the temple of the Lord, because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. So we have become the new temple, which is why Christians don't try to build a new temple for the Lord, is because we don't believe that the Lord dwells in a house, a physical location anymore, like he did prior to Jesus coming. We believe that we are his holy temple. And so if we are his holy temple, then that should encourage us to try to do everything we can to keep it as clean and pure and healthy and righteous as possible. You know, if you just think of, like, a lot of the Catholic and old Orthodox churches from 100 and 200 and years ago and older than that, when you drive by them or you go inside of them, regardless of how you feel about these different denominations, it is so clear that they put a great emphasis on making them beautiful, on making them valuable. You know, you don't see any Catholic churches built with, you know, steel aluminum siding or anything like that. You know, they're built in brick and stone, right? Because they want to spend the money, they want to put the effort into making it solid and worthwhile and long-lasting and beautiful and great quality, right? And I admire that. You know, the stained glass windows, you know, it'd be so easy to just put in regular double pane windows, you know, that are clear and stuff like that, but they put in these stained glass windows because it's more beauty. You know, they invest in art around the inner side of the church to make it beautiful. The different decorations and whatnot, often painted with gold or are gold, you know, and so, like I said, you know, there's a whole lot of emphasis in building a church, and whether if you're part of one of those denominations or if you're a non-denominational church like I am, you know, there's a great emphasis that goes into making sure the church looks nice and clean, usually, especially if your church has any, you know, is that of means, of financial means. You know, at the very least, you know, you're dealing with up-to-date carpet, nice modern colors, and clean bathrooms, and a place of worship that is you know, just nice. It looks good, it looks clean, and it looks like a place where people would want to come and worship God, that God would be happy to dwell in, right? And if we were to now create a new temple for God today, let's say it was appropriate to do that, which, like I said, it's not, but if we did, if all of Christendom came together and said, we want to build one mega church complex to honor Jesus, you know, just a place where every kind of denomination can come and worship, can you imagine how beautiful that church would be, that building would be, and how massive it would be, and how much effort would be going into making it perfect, right? Well, we should be doing the same with our body, because in that made-up scenario, that's how we should be. That's how our emphasis should be. We are that temple. So take care of it. Be healthy. You know, if you're drinking too much, put it down. You know, don't drink as much. You know, if you're smoking, stop. It's not helping you. If you're overeating like me, or drinking too much pop, taking in too much sugar, put it down. You know, check your diet. take care of your body and do that. It's important. Number two, the next thing that the Lord really got on me for was, and it kind of ties into the diet, but isn't at all exclusive to that. Because as I say this, you'll see the wider application. But he was telling me, do not be mastered by anything. Some of us are mastered, like I was just saying, by caffeine, carbonated drinks, fun foods that I like to eat, convenient foods, Chipotle, McDonald's, these are convenient foods for me. I enjoy them. And a lot of times I'll choose that even though I've got a refrigerator full of food and even some leftovers that I could be eating, I'll go and get something else. I'll go and get takeout, or I'll buy something else because it's more tasty, or but it's less healthy, some people are mastered, like I was saying, there's an addiction that can be mastering you, right? Are you mastered by alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, pornography, cell phones? A lot of people today are mastered by their cell phone, specifically social media. On this retreat, I mentioned we don't take our cell phones with us, right? We disconnect. And there was several of the younger people that I was with, just a few years younger than me. I'm in my early 30s, so I know what it's like. I grew up essentially with it, as cell phones became more widespread. But some of the younger guys were like, man, I'm enjoying my time, but it's so hard not to have my cell phone, bro. And, I don't know what's going on. I can't text people. I can't get on social media, or I can't check the news or the internet, and they're really struggling with that. And I would submit to you, bro, sis, you might be mastered by your cell phone. You might be mastered by social media. Don't be mastered by anything. The only thing we should be mastered by is the Lord Jesus and his word, and I think every Christian would agree with that. Don't allow other things in your life to master you. It is never healthy, no matter what it is. It can be a good thing outside of the Lord. There is nothing else, good or bad, that you want to be mastered by, because ultimately, if something is done in excess, it's not good. It's not good for you, or it's not good for the people around you. You want to balance things. You want to be your own master. You want to master your own life and in subjection to the Lord. Like I said, the only thing we want to be mastered by as Christians is the Lord Jesus. So that was something that hit pretty heavy for me in some specific areas, but like I said, very wide-ranging application, and I hope that encourages you. So by this time in late morning, early afternoon, I was feeling pretty beat down, because the Lord was revealing these different things about me that needed to change and that I needed to do radically different. And, especially when I talk about my health, I've gotten to be several pounds overweight, and I'm not happy with the way I look anymore. I used to be pretty satisfied with it. I used to be happy with the way I look in my condition, my health. And now I'm not, and I'm starting to have other, little irritating conditions pop up because of my weight. I'm having aches and pains that I didn't used to have. I'm only in my early 30s, so it's probably not due to getting older, at least at this point. It's probably due to my body now carrying around weight on a consistent basis that it never was used to. I'm now developing allergies more easily and being affected by them because of my weight. And, just using that as a specific example to go back to, is easy to relate to for everybody. But I was feeling disgusting and terrible about things that I was doing or my life choices. And the Lord was really quick to check that. And even though some of the things that are going on in my life, they do require some radical and quick and strong, decisive action. I don't want to sugarcoat that. Even though that's the case, where my mind was starting to go, like I said, was oh, I feel terrible. I'm so horrible. I feel disgusting. I feel like I need to change everything. And I'm just so messed up. And the Lord was really quick to check me. Hey, do not let condemnation have a hold on you. And there was a specific message that a good friend of mine was sharing during the retreat. And at first I'm thinking, yeah, this is good for other people to hear, but I really need to like make a change. So I don't need to know about the grace of God and no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? You know, I'm sure a lot of people, it doesn't take long for you to be in the church to hear that, that gospel truth, right? But in my mind, I was like, I know I don't need to hold on to that because I need to change, right? And the Lord is like, no. So it's good that you're feeling motivated to change. It's good that you are, you know, think about that song, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. You know, it's good that your heart is breaking for the things that, that my heart is breaking for, right? So Lord, talking to me. But don't let that make you feel like you're terrible or you're horrible or you're less than or you're worthless, because that is not my word. That is not my thought. He goes, the Lord's thoughts for us are all good. You know, the Lord's thoughts for us are pleasure and joy and pride in us. He's like a proud father looking down at his son or at his daughter, just so incredibly grateful to have you in his life. You know, those are the thoughts that the Lord has for us. You go back to Psalms, it says that we are the apple of his eye. We're the center of his attention, the very center of his focus. He loves us. He loves you. And I was starting to really pull in condemnation on myself because of some of the choices that I had been making, knowing that I needed to get to an encounter retreat and really have the Lord address them, right? And he was like, no, don't let that condemnation sit on you. I did not design you for that. I didn't build you for that. I want you to hear what I have to say and be motivated to change and live in victory and in my forgiveness. And so it's an interesting balance that as Christians, we need to walk. You know, you need to walk in obedience. Okay. Obedience to Christ is not an option. I want you to hear that. Obedience to Christ is not an option. There's a lot of Christians that are like, oh, I know God will forgive me. No, yeah, he will forgive you. But just like Paul said, should our grace be an excuse for sin? May it never be. Let it never be. You know, Paul, as much as he wrote about grace, he was so emphatic and so urgent and so determined to speak to the obedience that we need to have for the Lord. One of the most obedient early church writers and fathers that I can imagine. He was so devoted to Christ. And yeah, he wrote so much about grace, and that's great, but that should not be lost on the overall message that we need to obey the word. We need to obey Christ, okay? So don't let that get lost on this message. But at the same time, God's forgiveness is never ending. You need to obey Christ with every ounce of energy and devotion and effort that you have. And know that as you do that every single day, all day, for the rest of your life, that if you mess up, God's gonna catch you, and he's not surprised by it. You weren't holding him up. You were not holding God up, so you can't let him down. Okay, hear that. You're not holding Jesus up. He holds himself up. You're not holding him up, so you can't let him down. Okay? So know that, accept that. Don't walk in condemnation, okay? One of the biggest things that the Lord shared with me after that was, you know, and in between that, I should say, the Lord had really built me up and encouraged me and given me, you know, the tools to be able to make the changes that I need to make in my life and for my family and for those around me and for the ministry that I know he's called me to. And one of the biggest things I started to experience was fear that when I go back to my normal life, that these things are I'm not going to be able to resist the urge to drink a pop again, or I'm not going to be able to resist the urge to, you know, cut out the easy or the right meal, the smart meal, the healthy meal, and just go and get McDonald's, right? I'm not going to be able to make these better life choices in the moment where it really matters. Sure, I'm motivated now, but now I'm afraid that when I go back and get in that familiar situation, that I'm going to go back and revert to those familiar reactions that I did before this encounter. And the Lord spoke really clear there too. Do not have fear. Have no fear. Do not let it rest on you. And you know, the whole thing is like, we all think and believe and we know that if there's God, right, he's got it. There's a devil out there too, and the devil's coming to get you, right? Some people like to preach on that. The devil's coming. You gotta, you know, worry about what the devil's doing. No. Yeah, the devil's coming. You're right. He's coming. But don't fear him. We've already defeated him. He's done. He's defeated. It's in the word. It's over. His days are numbered. Yours are not, right? We live in everlasting glory with our Lord Jesus here, and then when we pass away in the natural, forevermore in eternity afterward. You know, his days are numbered. He is set for destruction. We are not. We're set for salvation and for you know, to live a glorious life here on earth and in heaven, okay? So, yeah, the enemy's coming for you. He's going to try to tempt you. He's going to try to attack you. And be ready. Be ready. You know, just like put it, what does the scripture say? Put on the full armor of God, right? And so we need to be ready for that. Be ready. Be ready. But you know what? The devil has no power over you. He has no influence over you. I have two young boys. One is 3 and the other one's 2. And, you know, if my son, either one of them, were to try to attack me, you know, that would be a fruitless effort on their point, or on their part, because I know they're just 2 foot something nothing, you know, 20 pounds and nothing. They can't hurt me. I'm daddy. You know, I'm way bigger than them. I'm way older than them. I'm trained in the martial arts on top of that. I'm not just a regular, you know, father who can, you know, exert some force on his child. Like, I am a well-trained, you know, martial artist. Like, there's nothing, you know, about this little person that I need to be afraid of. And in the natural and in the spirit, that is exactly who the devil is. He is just this, like, little toddler, like, running at you, coming to attack you. Like, ah, I'm going to get you. It's like, okay, that's cute. You know, you're defeated. You know, I've got way more tools and way more power and way more, you know, everything than you do, you know? You know, and so, you know, if you wanted to, you know, like, just imagine this devil is this, like, little tantrum, you know, fire spitting, like, little, you know, toddler kind of thing, just, like, running at you, and he's got a bad attitude. Okay, well, just, you know, do a Sparta kick, and, you know, like, this is the temple of the Lord. Like, get out of here. You know, you don't belong here. You know, the devil doesn't deserve any amount of real estate in your mind, in your body, in your soul, in your spirit, nothing. He deserves none of that. So don't let him in. If he comes at you, get to the word. If he comes at you, get into worship. If he goes at you, pray. You know, get in fellowship with other believers. Hey, you know, this thing's happening in my life. Could use some prayer. Could use some fellowship. Could use some encouragement. That's how we fight the devil. And when temptation comes, flee. Run. Don't even try to fight temptation. Don't even play with it. Don't mess with it. Run. You know, don't have fear that these things can happen. You know, for someone like me, and the other 29 people that went on the encounter retreat with me, that's a real message that we need to be careful in this immediate time, right? Because when you come off a retreat, you're on the spiritual high, and you go back into regular life, and all of a sudden, the regular things start to happen to you again. And you need to be ready, because that in those moments, that's where the enemy's going to attack us. Well, you don't need to be off of a spiritual high to need to hear this message, and that the devil has no control over you. You should not fear him. Fight back. Fight back in the word, fight back in prayer, fight back in worship, fight back in fellowship. You know, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides between the marrow and the bone, right? How sharp is that? I'm sorry, the spirit and the bone, I believe is what the scripture says. You might look it up. I might be misquoting that, but it's so sharp, right? The word of God cuts to every single thing and is easy for us to use as a tool against the enemy. Quote the word at him, know the word, memorize the word, get in the word, so that way you know where you stand as a believer and can fight back against the enemy. And the last thing that that the Lord showed me on the retreat, and this is applicable to anybody. I don't want, you know, the feminists to hear this and go, oh, it's just another, you know, masculine man trying to exert himself. But the Lord said, you need to lead your family. You need to lead your family. And as a husband, as a father, that looks a certain way, right? We can see in the Bible what roles that a husband and a wife are supposed to play within their family, you know? And so I take that very seriously, and so does my wife. And I'm grateful that we have the same mind and same goals when it comes to how we live our family. But my wife is not a pushover by any means, and I don't want her to be. You know, I need her to check me. I need her to speak up. I need her to advise and to counsel and to say what she wants to say and influence the decisions that I make. That is her critical role. And so for me, I need to lead in godliness. And my wife's been saved longer than I have. in many ways, she is a lot more godly than I am. She is much closer to the Lord than I am. So it's, there's this dynamic between us where it's like, you know, she's been in Christ a lot longer than me. And so a lot of times when it comes to spiritual maturity, she tends to exceed me. And that's okay. I don't have any kind of pride against that. I don't have some kind of ego that I'm worried about Bruce. I love my wife, and I love that she is so mature in Christ, and I don't want that to change. And as we grow together, I'm still, you know, saddled with this holy burden, you know, that scriptures say is that, you know, I need to lead my family. I am the head of the house. So how do you do that when you're not the most spiritual one in the house? And that's, and you do that, at least this is the what I feel like the Lord is sharing with me. You know, I need to lead in godliness in that, hey, let's worship tonight. Let's not watch TV. Let's worship tonight. Or, hey, let's get some alone time. You know, you go your way, I'll go mine. And let's make sure that we're separating ourselves and getting some time in with the Lord. You know, let's pray together, you know. Or let's talk about how we can maybe serve at our church together. You know, maybe that's not serving at the church, but maybe you can start a small group. You know, maybe you can, if you're bold and you like to talk to people, go and find a hobby or a club that you can join. And as Christians, and start, you know, talking to people about Jesus. Maybe it's just like true evangelism. You don't care about walking the streets and, you know, maybe walking up and down your block and knocking on doors and telling them about the joy and peace that the Lord has given you and the salvation that comes in knowing Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of different ways. And so I would hesitate to put God in a box and make too many specific suggestions. And I would just put it to you, you know, is there a way that you guys can serve the Lord together at your church? Maybe you're serving on Sunday mornings or you know, there's a youth group or an evening service or some type of ministry that they do, or they're handing out, you know, food pantry or something like that. You know, I would encourage you, you know, as a husband and wife to come together and find a way to try to serve together in some way, and use that to bond together and to grow closer to the Lord together. And if you're single, you know, I don't want this last point to be lost on you. If you're a single person, you're hearing, you know, me as a married husband, you know, and father saying, oh, I need to lead my family. And it's like, okay, well, that doesn't really apply to me. It does. It does apply to you. Not in the same way, maybe, but it does apply. And as you are waiting on the Lord, you know, if you are waiting for the Lord to bring you Mr. or Mrs. Wright, I would just encourage you that right now in this season that you should be focusing on the Lord and making sure that you are getting your own temple, both physically and spiritually, in the best shape and condition it can possibly be, meaning letting go of hurts of the past, growing in your knowledge and your devotion to the Lord, so that way when that person comes along, you can give them the best version of you that you can possibly give. And that way you can help that person grow and they can help you grow. And just like the scripture says, iron sharpens iron. You know, it's not easy. There's a reason why they don't say iron sharpens clay. You know, because that's only a one-way relationship. You know, the iron can shape the clay, but that clay is not going to do anything to the iron. You don't want to be clay, okay? You want to be iron. And when you meet your spiritual, or your husband or your wife, future husband and wife, you want them to be iron, you want to be iron, so that way you guys sharpen each other, okay? The worst thing can happen. And I would say that analogy is probably good to equate to about being unequally yoked. The last thing you want is to be spiritually totally separate from your husband or from your wife, or you're like seeking the Lord, you want to deepen your relationship with God and in prayer and in worship and in the word, and you're trying to find out how to serve, and the other person that you're thinking about is like just trying to figure out how to not have sex before marriage, or they're trying to still figure out how not to cuss, or they're trying to figure out that you shouldn't be getting drunk, you know, or doing drugs. You know, you can be a believer in both of those states, but those two people are going to have a lot of trouble trying to walk this life out together. Not to say it's impossible. God can do anything. I've seen him work with people who are so radically different and turn their relationship into an amazing thing. But it's going to be harder for one of those people, probably both of those people, And God wants you. The word of the Lord for you right now is he wants you closer to him. And that's giving up the things that he doesn't want you to be attached to and picking up the things that he does, you know. So I said a lot. It's gone a little bit farther than I want to. But I just wanted to get up here, like I said, and share what the Lord has shown me over this weekend. I feel so encouraged and so blessed. And if your church has something similar to an encounter retreat or silent retreat or something like that, I would encourage you to go. I would encourage you to go. Take it seriously. If they tell you to be quiet or leave yourself on a home, do it. You will receive so much from that trip, and it'll really bless you. And if your church doesn't have something like that, maybe suggest that to your elders or to your small group leader or to your pastor or something, and try to get that together. Or, you know, a lot of times there's churches that don't do that, but they know of other churches and other leaders who do do that. So maybe you can try to get engaged with another church that does it. But the point is get you an encounter with the Lord so you can go deeper and appreciate all that the Lord has done for you and all that he wants to do through you. So I hope that encourages you. I'm really encouraged, and that's why I wanted to share this. It might be a little bit before I'm up here again to share another or get another episode out, but I wanted to get this out while it was still fresh on my mind. So I hope you guys are blessed by that, and that you're encouraged. God bless.